Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
About 9:52 a.m., a male suspect drove a vehicle over the curb, West 19th, west of College Avenue, struck pedestrians. He exited the vehicle and used a butcher knife to start cutting pedestrians. Our officers was on scene in less than a minute, and he ended the situation less than a minute. He engaged the suspect, and he eliminated the threat. The suspect is DOA.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Not to work, let us leave on me.
All right, we're not up to Tuesday already. There's a terror attack by a Muslim. From the Buckeye State to the Blind Eye State in just one administration. From the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the freeloader and the home of the empty revolver. That's America under Barack Obama. Now, of course, they know who the suspect is. He's 18-year-old Abdul Artan. No Islamophobia now. Don't you dare say he was a Muslim. Well, he was a Muslim, and he is a Somali refugee who lived in Pakistan and came to the U.S. in 2014 under Barack Obama's illegal immigrant tsunami. And he's now a legal permanent resident, equal to you and your grandfather who fought in World War II. They don't know the motive. It's not his holy book, of course. We couldn't assume that for any reason whatsoever. He was deranged. He was crazy. He was a maniac, said the press reports. But they say the attack was clearly deliberate and may have been planned in advance. Really? I wonder where the Somali Muslim refugee got the idea to run over Americans and then slash them with a butcher knife. Well, then, we can't assume it comes from his religious teachings, could we? No, that would be racist, and of course, that might get you in trouble. But here we are, not days after the recount was announced, where Hillary's challenging the election along with this Stein character. We have a terror event. We've all been saying, where was the terror over the last few weeks? Why have the Islamofascists been so quiet during the election? Where were they? And why would they trigger one of themselves now? I mean, I don't know if there's any relationship to the fact that the election's over and now it's being contested, but it seems odd to me that these Abduls, Artans, weren't slashing and driving people over a week or two ago. Why all of a sudden? And I'm just thinking out loud, you know what I'm saying. There are other topics I was going to talk about today. I was going to go light on you today, because most of you are like chimpanzees in a zoo on a Monday. You ate the candy corn that they threw over the wall, and you're hyperglycemic now from the vacation. And the last thing you want is anything serious. After all, it's holiday time, and you want to shop. And you want to listen to Christmas music. Bing Crosby is out. Rihanna is in, I suppose, with a Jingle Bell theme attached to her. Wonderful lyrics about such. Nine people were taken to hospitals after the ambush. One was in critical condition. A police officer was on the scene within a minute and killed the assailant. Ooh! A police officer shot the poor Somali? Why did he shoot him? Why did the police officer have the audacity to shoot the assailant like that? Why didn't he try to talk to him? Why didn't he speak with him about his grievances? Why didn't he try to encourage him to join the American mainstream? Why, oh, why did this police officer act so abruptly? I think there should be a riot by Black Lives Matter, or would it be Somali Lives Matter, or would it be Al Sharpton, or would it be Jesse Jackson? One of them should be out there screaming, hey, hey, ho, ho, or something like that. After all, I haven't been heard from for a while. Law enforcement officials told NBC News the suspect's name is 18-year-old Abdul Artan, a student. I wonder what the student was studying. He was a Somali refugee. Well, anyway, you get the picture. I mean, what are you going to say about it? That's not the main topic. I mean, the main topic is the guy slashed because that's what he does. And no one fought back. They were hiding in the dining room. Why wasn't there a returning military veteran with a gun in his pocket in the Buckeye State, I wonder? Anyway, the topics I were going to talk about were these, and I'll just read them, not in any particular order. I try to read them in order. Would Mitt Romney make a good Secretary of State? Yes, for Canada. But that's a question and sort of sarcastic answer. But he's being considered, and you know why they're considering Mitt Romney. Who told you, other than I, that a deal had been struck on the election night? No one. I have the tape to prove it. I told you the day after that a deal was struck between Obama, Hillary, and the Trump team, and a deal was worked out, and that Hillary would not contest the election. In fact, she would concede if they wouldn't pursue charges. Did I say that or not? No one else did, because I'm ahead of the curve. I am Lincaeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, number one. Number two, now we see that the election is being contested. That's an interesting turnabout, but we'll have to talk about that in a few minutes. I know what they're trying to do. They know that they can't take the election away from Mr. T, but they also know they can so cripple him and damage him and weaken him that before he even enters the Oval Office, he's almost a lame duck president. They want to make the American people in the world see that he actually didn't win the election by the popular vote, and that he has no mandate, and that any one of his principles that he may have had going in should go out the window because he has no mandate to carry through on those. That's what this is all about. So we already discussed that. Okay, let's check that bucket list for Monday. The next one, Castro dies, Pope weeps. We have wonderful, wonderful sound for you from all of the fellow traveling communist vermin in the media. I don't know how, have any idea why you listen to them weeping over Castro's death. This murderer, this terrorist, this gangster, this Cuban mafioso was one of the worst people on the planet. And yet they're glorifying him in the media. We have their sound bites so that you can make a decision, an informed decision. Never listen to them again. Why would you listen to them again? You know, I'm glad to tell you that boycotts are working. Colin Pimpleneck, whatever his name is, who started out with the knee job on the football field. He thought he was going to get a real boost out of that. And for a while, of course, the idiots in the media turned him into a folk hero, even though he had a failing football career and he was doing this for attention, because he's an attention queen. Suddenly they found out that the idiots in the stands will not put up with this, you know, for any length of time. And I told you, you have the right to not turn on the NFL. You have the right not to go to a game. When passing through it, you can turn it off, and you did. So the team that he is on is suffering. The league that he is in is suffering. And the idiot won't stop. Over the weekend, he glorified Fidel Castro. Then he had to backtrack. And you know the standard communist stuff. Oh, although Castro was a bad guy, somewhat, he brought education and health care to the Cubans. Gee, that's novel. I heard that one before. Hey, question for all of you who say that. Reality check time in the Savage Nation. Let's see. Castro brought medical care and education to the peasants in Cuba. Really? Why is it then when El Jefe, the bearded one, needed surgery, he called in a surgeon from Spain? And also, why is it that whenever the leaders of Cuba need medical care, they either go to Miami or call in a Jewish surgeon from Miami? Why is that? If the medical care is so good, you idiots, you. Why don't you go there for your medical care? Why don't you go there for your dental care, you idiot leftist from Berkeley, whose parents probably went down there to collect sugar cane? Stupid people. They're just stupid. They're not naive. They're stupid, useful idiots. Covered that. Castro dies. Pope weeps. Would Mitt Romney make a good Secretary of State? Covered that. Check. Did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving weekend? Now, that's one you can call about. Did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving weekend? What happened? Because I was reading a horoscope, which I read every day. Yes, I'm a rational man. Yes, I believe in God. Check those two things. Yes, it doesn't make me an atheist who violates the Bible. I turn to many different areas for knowledge, since there is no pure knowledge anywhere. And I saw a horoscope that said you will get the chance to heal rifts and end feuds over the next few days. If family issues are causing problems, now is the time to sit everyone down and discuss what has gone wrong and what needs to be done to make it right again. Excuse me? I don't think there's a person listening to this show who did not have a family dispute over Thanksgiving, minor or major. Now, if you're of a certain, let's say, group of people, it could have been a fist fight or a knifing, which was very common in Honolulu when I lived there. There was a certain group that they loved each other, but on Saturday nights, they got drunk and either killed each other or stabbed each other. A mild stabbing. Then they went to the hospital with their brother-in-law, and they tried to help him in the hospital. You know, just it's in their thing. That's how they do it, from their home country. But I'm not saying that you went through a thing like that, but you know there was a dispute in your house for sure. Because there had to be a dispute. And maybe it's the chemtrails in the air affecting the turkey meat. Maybe if you listen to certain radio shows, you assume it's the government poison in the chemtrails that was sent to distract you from the election and have you just move on dot yourself. So what happened to your family over this holiday weekend? Can any of the damage ever be repaired? Were you arguing over politics? My friends, the phone number is 855-407-282. If I have not intrigued you with my opening, let me tell you something. You're brain dead, and you should be listening to Colin Paepernick.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Does this seem to be planned? And any indication this could be a terror attack?
It's too early to say. The only thing that you can say, based upon common knowledge, that this was done on purpose. To go over the curb and strike pedestrians and then get out and start striking them with a knife. That was on purpose.
No, that's a genius. Maybe he could be appointed to some big job in the FBI. Figured that one out. Well, it could be, you know, you got to look at it from all sides. The Ohio State attack on the students by Hassan, whatever his name is, I forget his name already, whatever Muslim student from Somalia, is an indicator not so much of his disgust with America as the racism of the Americans. This is what provoked him. You see, had we been a more inclusive nation, had we given his family more welfare, had we been more welcoming, perhaps making the 18-year-old the president of the university before he even spoke English, and giving him, let's say, a new Mercedes. I don't say a Bentley or a Rolls. I mean, I'm not absurd about it. But every Somali who comes here should be given a new Mercedes instantly, and perhaps a house, a free house. Perhaps then their grievances against the racist white state of Ohio would have been lessened. Because you know there's a lot of deplorables up there in Ohio. You know there's a lot of crackers, a lot of guns. You know that they look at people weirdly. So you got to look at it two ways. I mean, he was triggered. He was triggered by those people on campus. Oh, here, Audrey, WJR, she's on the campus. Audrey, what's going on up there?
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name is Audrey. I'm a student at Ohio State. I'm standing in my dorm building right now, looking down at Watts Hall. I have a perfect bird's eye view of it, and I can see all the police cars, and I've, you know, been watching it all morning, and it's just, you know, police swarming everywhere, and the stories that people are saying are all different. I went on Twitter, and the leftists are all starting to say that, you know, to apologize to the Somalian immigrant community in Columbus, saying that we're so sorry for the hatred that you're going to experience after this, and it's just...
Oh, so they're blaming the victims of this Somali Muslim maniac terrorist piece of garbage? They're saying you should apologize to Hassan Omar, president of the Somali community?
Exactly. And these are the same people who are supporting Black Lives Matter, who support anything that, you know, degenerates our country.
Well, let me tell you something. People who were tweeting that if Trump was president, they should be investigated by the FBI because they're fellow travelers of terrorists. This is total insanity. Common sense would dictate the opposite is true, not what you are telling me.
Absolutely. And it's the professors. The source of this is the professors.
Oh, professors. Yeah. You know what I'd love to do is take some of those tenured rats and send them to Somalia and see how long they last as a tenured professor of ratology.
Yeah. I'm in the business school, and you wouldn't imagine the amount of leftist propaganda they throw at us on a daily basis.
I don't know how you take it. The universities have been penetrated by the lowest form of intellect in the country. There used to be a saying when I was young, those who can do, those who can't teach. And unless the teaching is in a high field of science or medicine, it is basically filled with a bunch of of deadbeats who can't do anything else. They can't get a job anywhere, and they take out their left-wing vitriol on the poor students who have no option but to listen to it.
That's absolutely correct. And there's OSU Students for Trump. Anytime they would have an organization on campus, the Black Lives Matter and the other leftists would disrupt it and harass.
Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group. It's a domestic terrorist group, in my opinion. I've said so before. They glorify Fidel Castro, the murderer of thousands, an oppressor of a magnitude you can certainly understand. The people who are in Black Lives Matter never belonged in universities to begin with. They belong in George Soros's drawing room. That's where they came from. That's who funds them. That's where they belong. This is sickening. But you, as a woman, you saw the students hiding in the various rooms. I see the students block the doors with their book bags.
Yes.
Did anyone in the room say that if he comes in here, we're going to hit him with something or hit him with a chair or let's all get chairs and get ready to hit him?
I didn't hear them say that. I know everyone was hiding in fear, though. They have barricaded the classroom.
Have they come out with the balloons yet and the teddy bears?
I'm sure
that... For the poor Somali who did all of this? I'm sure that they're going to put candles and balloons and teddy bears where the Somali who did this was shot by the brave cop. But what about the victims of this Somali Muslim terrorist? Anyone thinking about them?
They seem to be forgotten. Disgusting.
Okay. Allow me my sarcasm and my vitriol, because there's only so much any of us can take. All I can say is thank you for calling from the scene live, and I appreciate you are listening to the Savage Nation. Thank you. Guess they're listening to me over there in Ohio State on WJR or streaming it. I don't know how. But this is sickening. Hassan Omar, president of the Somali Community Association of Ohio, said that reports that the attacker was Somali was upsetting. He said every Somali person has been calling and crying. Well, this is a shock, he said. As a Somali community, we're in a state of shock. We live in a peaceful community. This is going to affect the life of everybody. We are American, and we don't want somebody to create this problem. Why don't you talk to your imam? Why don't you go to your local mosque there and talk to your imam? Maybe you could talk some sense into him.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yes, indeed. From Buckeye State to the Blind Eye State in one administration. We've gone from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the freeloader and the home of the empty revolver. My opinion, one man's opinion. And, of course, the Ohio attack was inspired by ISIS. Of course, the Somali was inspired by the black flag of hate and deceit and death. You already think this is the first time that a Muslim used his car and a knife? Last November, Faisal Mohammed, 18, last November now, stabbed four people at the University of California, Merced, before being shot dead by heroic cops. Faisal Mohammed was carrying an ISIS flag in his backpack. Another student. ISIS terrorist Mohammed Lahoujal Bouhel used his truck to kill 84 people in Nice. By blowing into Bastille Day crowds earlier this year. You forgot that already in the collective amnesia? Wasil Faruqi allegedly tried to behead a man in Roanoke, Virginia, and then stabbed a woman shouting, Allah Akbar. He had previously tried to travel to Syria for terror training. In September, Dahir Adan, 22, slashed 9 shoppers at the Crossroads Mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota. He was shot dead by an off-duty cop, a hero. And according to eyewitnesses, the Muslim demanded to know his victim's faith before cutting their throats. Shock you yet? In August, ISIS claimed responsibility for a machete attack on 2 female officers, while 5 were injured in a knife and axe attack on a German train weeks before. He was also shot dead and had an ISIS flag in his home. In its magazine published in English, The Subhumans in ISIS have inspired Muslims around the world to use knives in their attacks. And you want to bring more of them in? Let me backtrack for a minute. Why did we elect Trump? Did we elect him because we liked his pompadour? Did we elect him because we liked his buildings? No. We elected Trump for two reasons. Close the damn borders, build the damn wall, and don't let Muslims in from terror countries. Those are the reasons. Those are the two major reasons. The third reason, bring back jobs. I can give you about five reasons. Two of them have to do with what just happened in Ohio State. Now, I'm not blaming him. He's not president yet. But the snake in the White House certainly did this to us by flooding us with as many as he could. The snake did this to us. We know that. But the question is, what is Trump going to actually do, or what will Trump, A, propose to do once he is inaugurated? And number two, what will he be able to do once he is inaugurated? You know, I got to tell you this. Beware the augurs. They're not good. The augurs are very bad. I saw this coming. I took a big chance in criticizing Rinso Priebus of the RNC. The minute I saw that Rinso was made chief of staff, I said, the fix is in, we're in trouble. And I wrote an article, WorldNet Daily published it, Drudge linked it for 18 hours, there were over 2 million people who went on it. I can tell you right now what happened as a result. I'm not going to hide it from you anymore. I am basically a deplorable to the Trump team. The very same people who used me and used you to get where they are not returning any emails or calls because I dared criticize the deal they made with Rinso Priebus and the RNC. And a few days after that, guess what happened? All of a sudden they marched out Mittens Romney. Because I see what's happening. There was a deal made. Look, politics is all about deal making. I understand that. I didn't expect there to be 100% purity in the Trump's messaging. However, for them to kick the millions of listeners of this show to the curb and basically saying to you, you are the deplorables, you are just the same deplorables to us now that we have all the power in the world, is really sickening, to be very honest with you. Now, I could shut my mouth and say nothing about it, but you know, I have trouble eating humble pie. I have trouble being rejected. I have trouble being crapped upon. I have trouble being rejected. I have trouble being used. And I'm not one to be used easily. I'm also a fighter. And let me tell you something else. The minute I saw them take Rinso Priebus in, and within the next few days, they bring in that failed kitten, Mitt Romney, I know what's coming. I know most of us are going to be very disappointed in the days and weeks and months ahead. We're going to be very disappointed. And we're going to have to learn to live with our disappointment. We're going to say we were had again. We were used again. They're doing to us exactly what they did to us after we put that creature McConnell back in. And the other one, I forget his name, Boehner. Do you remember what we did in 2012? Remember I told you to hold your nose and vote for the Republicans in the book that I wrote at the time? I said we have no other choice. And guess what the Republican Party did to you? Just what they're doing to you now. And so, yeah, Trump worked a deal out with the RNC that if they back him and give him money and don't fight him towards the nomination, he will permit them to have certain influences over his appointments and his policies. That's what we're seeing going on right now. However, whoever is advising Donald Trump is making a huge tactical and critical error in thinking that we the people are just idiotic deplorables who will sit here and take it. Now, I know that we have almost no recourse. There's no buyer's remorse. There's nowhere to go with this. And as I said to you before, even if we only get 5% of what he promised us, we're 1,000% better than under Hillary Clinton. At least I think so. But God only knows where this can go. And it's up to those of us who convinced you who weren't going to vote to go out and vote. We have to now deal with this issue ourselves. And I'm dealing with it. Let me tell you, I'm dealing with it. I am not secretly plotting behind the scenes to go softly on them if they'll do this or that for me. I don't want anything from them. I don't need anything from them. I'm not looking for a government job. As far as that umbrella goes, how many times was Donald Trump on this show? What, between the a year ago? A lot. How many times did I say jokingly at the end of the interviews, well, I have that umbrella waiting for the inauguration? And he would say to me, you save that, you're going to need it. How many times did he say it? Quite a few. Well, I'll tell you what's going to be done with that umbrella, because it won't be at the inauguration. It will be a virgin umbrella in its original wrapper that will auction on eBay and give it to a wounded warrior. That's what's going to be done with that umbrella that will not be going to Washington to the inauguration. That's number two. And number three, it's you, the people, who put him over the finish line, who are going to have to organize right now to keep him straight and narrow, because I will tell you as I sit here, the people around him, the people advising him, are so Machiavellian right now that they think that they can just dump on you and you're going to take it. You're not going to take it. Now your question is, what are you going to do about it? Remember how many times I've said to you that we live in a dictatorship punctuated by a democracy every 4 years when the politicians come to us for their vote? How many times have you heard me say that? That we fundamentally live in a dictatorship. We have no recourse. We have no elected representatives. And that every few years they come back and make believe it's a democracy. And they tell us this and they tell us that. Then they get elected. And then suddenly you're put back into the deplorable category. Well, we have to change that. We, the people, now have to change that. And I have a plan. But I'm saving it until January. I have a distinct plan of how to take our government back, let alone our country. And I'll let that hang in the air for a while. And I hope that Doug takes that little statement that I just made, Robert. Ask Doug to get that in an MP3 for me, because I'm going to publish it on michaelsavage.com. I'm putting it down as my manifesto. You know why? Because I, Michael Savage, have more responsibility for having elected Donald Trump than anyone else in the media. Period. End of story. And I therefore have the responsibility to answer to my listeners as to the direction this administration is already taking before they've even taken office. I have an obligation to my listeners, because they're going to say to me, Savage, you encouraged me to vote. I had given up on the system. You told me to come out and vote that Donald Trump would make a difference. Well, he just might. He just might put some really good conservatives in there. He might rebuild the military. He might build the wall. He might stop the Muslim flood coming into America. He might put tariffs on China. He might do these things. We don't know. It's early on. And we do have to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I will tell you right now, there's only so much benefit and so much doubt that you can qualify at any one time. And what I see so far is quite worrisome. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my own brain. Now, we're also talking about a trivial thing, kind of funny, but not really. It's a sociological thing, which is big family. Did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving? Did you have a family dispute over Thanksgiving? I asked. And guess what people are calling about? Just exactly that. Let's begin in Washington, D.C. on WMAL. Chris, line 4, what happened at your dinner?
Dinner. Dr. Savage, basically it was after the dinner we started talking, and her sister said, I can't believe that someone would want secrets anywhere. There should be no secrets anywhere. What Hillary...
Wait, you're losing me. Who would... Secrets of what?
She said any secret. You know, she said, I can't believe Hillary... Everyone's upset that Hillary let all the secrets out. But I can't... You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, there shouldn't be secrets anywhere.
I don't... What do you have, like a... You have a sister-in-law who's that stupid, who says there should be no state secrets?
That's exactly correct.
But why even pay any attention to what this moron says?
I didn't. I was just...
Well, you're saying you were stuck with her over the turkey. You had to be around a moron. Again, an imbecile. An imbecile knows nothing. Okay, well, that's the problem with these family get-togethers. You associate with people that you wouldn't be caught dead with. That's all. You're suddenly intimate with a moron you normally wouldn't talk to.
That's true.
But because family, you got to sit there and smile like a turkey.
Yep.
That's so. I can't help you with it. Just don't go to dinner anymore. You're better off alone with a TV tray watching a ball game. No, it's a movie I told you about many years ago. I forget the name of it. It was done years ago. It's the way it all ends anyway, no matter how you think it's going to end. I'm very cynical about it all. I have been for many years. I was born a cynic, I think. I actually think I was born cynically. Well, I was not only born cynically, I was a cynic at birth, if that's possible. I probably had consciousness of cynicism in the womb, the more I think about it. Because the older I've gotten, the more it looks to me like I was correct in my cynical view of the world. And nothing's going to change. You think because they're your family, they have an opinion that matters? There's many of them. 855-407-282. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, you know, we had a fun... I had no disputes in my family. I'm different than you and I. I mean, I'm different than you. Mine was perfect. I got along with everybody. You know me. I get along well with strangers. If I tell you what went on just to cook a turkey, you'd laugh. It was a dispute of like, I mean, because I have very intelligent people in my house. Everybody had a different opinion on how to cook that turkey. We had almost the equivalent of a parliamentary decision-making process over how to prepare the turkey the night before, when to put the turkey in the refrigerator, whether to stuff the cavity the night before, what to stuff it with, when to remove it from the refrigerator before cooking, what temperature to put the bird into before and then during, and what to do it during, and then how to leave it out, and then when it comes out, how to slice it. It was fabulous. I decided to eat the roast beef instead because I knew that the turkey would be a question. A roast beef is easier. The turkeys, why is the turkey such a complicated animal to cook? Is that the turkey's revenge to make sure maybe we don't keep killing them? I don't know what it is. It's not the easiest thing on earth to cook, by the way. No one really knows how to cook it. Don't call me with recipes, please. That's not a prelude to that. I don't want to hear one recipe about a turkey. Not one word. Never. I'm never going to eat sliced turkey again. All I'm saying is roast beef is easy to make. It's more consistent. So one guy brought a device to the house. I never saw anything like it. It looked like an oven, like an atomic oven that sat on a countertop. And you put it in with the potatoes and the carrots, and you set it certain time for the wait. And he said it'll be done in 47 minutes. No, it was like a 3 hours and 47 minutes. He was, to the minute, it came out right. It was a brick. That was unbelievable. But then he's an engineer on a submarine, a nuclear engineer, so I figured he wouldn't. I left it to him because I knew if he's a nuclear scientist who's an engineer on a submarine, on a destroyer, I think, a nice guy. I figured he'd have a master's degree in nuclear physics, he would know how to cook a roast beef. So I left that to him. He was right, though. Worked out just fine, I got to tell you. But, but people argued, you know. Look, I got many callers on this issue. What about the other questions I raised? Should I review them? Here they are during the break. Are you ready? Write them down. Did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving weekend? What happened? Do you think Hillary will succeed in overturning the election? Castro dies, media creeps weep. Would Mittens Romney make a good Secretary of State? Once a deplorable, always a deplorable. It doesn't matter who's in power. And finally, and I'm going to throw this in a little later, is my personal comments on the hippie towns of Northern California, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. For not welcoming them properly into America, and thereby triggering a feeling of disgust and rage towards this nation. Hello, deplorables. Welcome back to Savage Nation. We, of course, are talking about the Somali Muslim who went on a rampage with a car and knife, killing some, attacking others, ramming car into a crowd, being shot dead by a brave policeman who will no doubt be attacked by the vermin in Black Lives Matter, the communist agitators supported by the worst man on the planet, in my opinion, George Soros, who should be hunted down by Interpol and turned over to the FBI immediately, in my humble opinion. I have to keep saying in my opinion, but there's no question that this agitator, this worldwide communist agitator, is more dangerous than the Pope. That I'm talking about George Soros. He's behind the recount deal going on right now. He's the one who funded the Black Lives Matter thugs. This man is a disturber of everything decent on the planet. Again, in my humble opinion. Do you think Hillary will succeed in overturning the election? Did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving weekend? What happened? Castro dies, Pope cries. Would Mittens Romney make a good Secretary of State? And what influence the RNC is having on Donald T. Trump? These are some of the topics that I'll be covering in the next hour on the Savage Nation. So I suggest that if you want more of the same, you stay tuned to your local station, and I'll be back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Terrible stuff in the world. I got to lighten it up a little bit. Somali Muslim goes on a rampage, ready to covering it up, apologizing for his distemper. Castro dies, the vermin in the media turn him into a hero. Look at these idiots at the New York Times. A revolutionary who defied the U.S., and held Cuba in his thrall by Anthony De Palma. Anthony De Palma has the brain of Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro and Anthony De Palma about the same mental level. What do you mean he was a revolutionary, defied the U.S. and held Cuba in his thrall? He killed everyone he wanted to kill in that country, you putz, you! The fiery apostle of revolution. Can you believe that this passes for journalism in this day and age? This is what they do with the New York Times. This is why they're losing money. This is why they are the true deplorables. So the people who own the newspapers and the TV stations, they are the deplorables, not you. Okay, a revolutionary who defied the U.S. and held Cuba in his thrall? He killed his cohorts, you schmuck, you! And the Pope is weeping over it. You hear the commie Pope? Don't tell me the Pope is sacred. Please, I respect the Catholic Church, and I have done a lot of battle for the Catholic Church over the years. I defended the Pope who was in power during World War II, who was called Hitler's Pope, when the opposite was true. But I'm not going to defend anyone who puts on a robe and a yarmulke and say he's a holy man. This guy is a hardcore revolutionary in the Catholic Church. He is destroying everything the Church stands for. He's no different than Obama. He's no different than the Marxists at the New York Times. Didn't we just have an election? Didn't we, the deplorables, just say we exist? We're not going to take it anymore? They haven't stopped. One thing you don't understand is that a newspaper could lose $1 million a week. It wouldn't matter to them. It's the same as the dumb college professors who can't do anything else for a living in the social sciences and the other like departments. They will not stop as long as they are paid. The only time they stop is when they wind up one day with a pink slip instead of a tenured check. And they have to look for a job, and the only thing available to them is serving little sausages at Costco, because that's the only job they're fit for. All the great, brave, tenured communists at the newspapers and in academia. And so the topics today are really there. Did family feathers fly over Thanksgiving weekend? And that's the main thing you're calling about. Castro dies, and they're all weeping. Would Mittens Romney make a good Secretary of State? Do you think Hillary will succeed in overturning the election? Once a deplorable, always a deplorable. It doesn't matter who's in power. Very much what you're seeing right now in America after this revolution by Donald Trump. I know this is hard for you to bear, but you're going to have to take it from me because I'm a strange person even to myself sometimes. I'll be honest with you. I can calculate and figure out what the smart move is in terms of strategy and Machiavellian moves. And then I usually reject them, and I just go for the jugular vein of truth. I stick to the truth, and truth is what I've lived with in the media from the day I started until the day it ends for me. So I'm outspoken. The day I have to start modifying what I believe in order to placate my friends and enemies is the day I will resign from radio, because there's no point in doing it. I don't do this for the money. Let me be very clear. I'm not boasting. I'm not sitting on a high horse telling you I don't need the job. I do it for one reason only, is to make America a better place. I've just come through the hardest year in my life in radio. I helped get millions of you motivated to vote. That's what I did. Many of you didn't want to vote anymore. You weren't going to vote for Hillary, don't get me wrong, but you weren't going to vote. You said, what's the difference? It's all the same. And I kept saying to you, he's an outsider. He's not a member of the Republican establishment. He's an independent. And then we wake up and there's Renzo Priebus, the gentleman who looks like he lacks a jaw. You know, that kind of a weak-looking guy. I don't even know who he is, Renzo. I'm sure he's a nice family man who goes to church. But Renzo represents the middle-of-the-road Republican Better Business Bureau side of the America that we need to change so badly. And we ran a champion into the White House, and they're modifying him, as sure as I'm sitting here. And I have to speak out about it. That's what I'm trying to do. I mean, in other words, the wisdom would dictate, don't say anything. You know, keep quiet, say nothing, curry favor with them. That's not going to work. Let me tell you right now. The revolution that has just occurred with the election of Donald Trump, who will soon be president, sworn in whatever it is, shortly next month, it's a strange thing to tell you. But, you know, Fidel Castro followed the path of all revolutionaries. In his case, he followed it to the maximum, to the nth degree. And that is the men who fought alongside him to give him the ultimate victory of becoming the leader of Cuba, was soon dismissed and then put in jail and eventually either worked to death or shot. That's how most revolutions occur. Hitler did it with Ernst Röhm. Ernst Röhm was that thuggish-looking man with a scar on his face, a militant homosexual who was a street fighter, a tough guy. He ran the brown shirts, Ernst Röhm. Hitler used the brown shirts until he didn't need them anymore, and they were a threat to him. They said Hitler wasn't pure enough for the position. He was not enough of a socialist. You won't believe this story. I mean, I've read it inside and out. Ernst Röhm was a pure socialist. He wanted more socialism, so he started to challenge Hitler's authority. Hitler had him killed in the Night of the Long Knives and dissolved the brown shirts, the SA. They were all rolled into the SS. Revolution 2. Revolutions follow similar paths. And the Trump revolution is following the same path. Don't get me wrong. They're not killing anybody. They're not executing anybody. They're not putting anybody in prison, nor will they ever. But they're eliminating all those people around them who are ruffling any feathers along the road to the ascension of power, myself included. There are several others that you will hear from who will suddenly speak out because of me and say, wait a minute, he's right. He's right. I mean, what are they picking Romney for? Why are they putting people in who we know are liberals? This is not what we voted for, because the revolution is emerging. And I got to tell you, a little bit more along those lines. I'm a student of military history. It's one of my hobbies. So on this long vacation weekend, I was reading the military history of certain naval battles. And one of them I was reading about was the Battle of Jutland in 1916. I don't know, what the heck? That's a long time ago. The Battle of Jutland, that's between the Germans and the British. And there was an article called The Man Who Caused Britain a Crushing Victory by the name of Admiral Jellicoe. And he wouldn't listen to certain intelligence that was coming to him because he didn't trust it. As a result, Britain had a crushing victory in the Battle of Jutland. The Germans defeated them. And I was reading the personality of Admiral Jellicoe, and it was written like this. And they said, the man chosen for this job, whether his other qualifications should also have been gifted with, whatever his other qualifications, the man should also have been gifted with tact, intelligence, and common sense. He was an arrogant man, though. He had a sublime contempt for the civilians of Room 40. He regarded them as a necessary evil to be tolerated in order to ensure the supply of information. Now, he's talking about someone in the chain of command named Jackson. And they said the man considered everyone below him as below him. He had contempt for them. And he did not take kindly to the approach of those who wanted to offer him any advice. And he had the manners of an overbearing boor. And then they said that Room 40, that's the intelligence room, was not deceived by him. But the lack of empathy and communication with Jackson ensured that the latter certainly was. So I guess I'm talking about how battles are won and lost, sometimes based on the personality of those leading the battle. The leader is very important to the battle. It's not just the equipment or the men fighting the battle or the ammunition or whatever, or the strategy even. It's up to the personality of the leader to continue to lead. And if this leader does not have proper qualifications, usually they are not going to get where they want to go. And truthfully, it applies to myself and everyone I know around me. Tact, intelligence, and common sense. When you think about that, those of us who are headstrong and want it done our way, who've gotten anywhere in life, have done so purely on our own will, our own intelligence, and our own abilities to keep pushing and think it through. But very often we lack tact. We're not diplomatic, in other words. And so, I mean, I learned from these things on my own. See, one of the reasons I read about military intelligence is not so much because it's fascinating to learn about battles unto themselves, but I'm trying to figure out a better way to run my own life, and usually by studying warfare and battles and personalities, it helps me strategize in my own life, because everything in your life is a strategy. Do you know that? Whether it's when to go to sleep, how to live, what to do, what not to do, how to deal with people in your family, how to deal with business associates. It's all strategy. You understand what I'm saying? And on a bigger picture, it's the picture of the country that we're living in and where we're going as a nation now that we've had this revolution. Will a revolution give us what we want? Increasingly, I do not think so. Now, having said that, it was a long weekend. I'm so glad that I went to Los Angeles to be with my family. It was a beautiful day. Otherwise, I mean, it would have been horrible. I can't imagine how awful it must have been for people who have no family on Thanksgiving. That's been one of the worst days of the year to be alone. That and Christmas, right? Worst. So I was, you know, to use a word that's overused, I'm blessed to have a wonderful family, and I was with them over the weekend and had a lot of fun. There was no real arguments because politically we all agree on the same things. It's just arguments over how to cook a turkey and stuff like that. And it wasn't even an argument. It was just like ideas about when to put the bird in, when to take it out, what to put the stuffing. But to satisfy the argument of the turkey cooking, just to get to that for a minute, I said, let me solve this for everyone, please. We all have different opinions because we've all done them. So I called my good friend Roger, who owns a restaurant up here in the San Francisco area. Many of you go to the restaurant. I don't want to mention it because I don't want it ruined by people who want to come there and find me. He owns a wonderful restaurant up here. I've known him for 40 years. So I said, let me call the guy who's done this for 100 years. Not only has he owned the restaurant for all these years, and he's the greatest cook I know, chef really, it's not the right word, cook, but his family, going back to the Basque Country, has an inn that they have owned for over 400 years. It's unbelievable to me to think of a human being that has a family that's powerful, that is so powerful that it's been in the same place for 400 years, in the same, like, farm and restaurant. You know what I'm saying? So I figured he would know how to cook a turkey. And he said, well, I'm glad you called me, Michael. Thank you. He was honored that I did. And he said, I always cut up one apple, an apple, an orange, and an onion, and I put it in the cavity the night before and cover it with plastic wrap. Well, you think that would resolve itself, right? Nope. Not in my family of Alpha Pluses. My family of Alpha Pluses wanted to know the details. Number one, how finely do you cut the onion? We had a dispute over that after getting the information. Number two, do you keep the peel on or off? I didn't think of the. I was just going to cut the things up and throw them in there. Now we had questions. Now, do you keep the peel on or off? I had to call them a second time. Peel on or peel off? Number three, apple, do you core it or not? I mean, it was interesting. Either you get somewhere in life by being very specific, or you don't. That's all. So those are some of the ideas that we're going to talk about in this hour in the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Is the Savage Nation. If you want more protein for your brain, keep listening. If you want refined carbohydrates, turn the show off and listen to sports or entertainment. So I want to, you know, the topics are pretty good about the dinner. You're mainly calling about the dinner stuff. But you're also calling about other things. I get it. The Muslim thing is bothering a lot of people. It just came out again. Who the attacker is, the Muslim kid. His name is Artan. In August of 25, he said, I'm a Muslim, and it's not what the media portrays me to be. Oh, no? In the August 25th edition of the Ohio State Lantern, Artan, he's the guy who stabbed a bunch of students and ran into them with his car and then was shot dead by a brave cop. Mr. Artan was featured in the Humans of Ohio State, And during his interview, Artan bemoaned the lack of prey facilities at Oregon State University, at OSU, sorry, Ohio State. He needed a prayer room. He said he needs to pray five times a day. He said, I just transferred from Columbus State. There we had prayer rooms, like actual rooms where we could go to pray, because we Muslims, well, we have to pray five times a day. Early morning, at dawn, then during the day, then in the evening, and then at sunset, and then Isha at night. He said, I want to pray. I mean, I'm new here. This is my first day. This place is huge. I don't even know where to pray. I wanted to pray in the open, but I was kind of scared with everything going on in the media. I'm a Muslim, he said. It's not what the media says about me. If people look at me, a Muslim praying, I don't know what they're going to think, what's going to happen. But I don't blame them. It's the media that put that picture in their heads. So they're just going to have it, and it's going to make them feel uncomfortable. So he said he needs a prayer room at Ohio State so he wouldn't feel uncomfortable. And now we wake up, and butcher knife drives a vehicle over the curb, and a butcher knife job. Exits the vehicle and starts cutting kids with a butcher knife. Luckily, a campus officer shot this piece of trash dead within seconds. Thank God. But I want you to see what I'm talking about here. You get the picture or not? You think that by catering to these extremists, they're going to put their hate down? You are crazy. It is the opposite that is true. Remember the adage, my friends. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. And if you don't like it, don't come to Rome. Go back to the crap hole you came from. What the world needs now. Yeah, why don't you all get on your hands and knees and now we'll go apologize for the racist country that we are. Don't apologize for the dead children and the injured children, rather. Have no sympathy for the kids who were slashed by this piece of trash. Focus all your energies on the poor Muslim who was shot by the cop after running over kids and stabbing them. That's the America we live in. That's the America we're trying to change. That's why we voted for Donald Trump.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You should read the Bhagavad Gita, the Torah, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and you'll see that the more things change, the more they remain the same. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And on this day of Muslim terror in America, we must not look away from what's obvious to all of us. This election was about immigration, if it was about anything. This election was about Muslims coming here who are either radicals before they get here or radicalized after they are here. And we want it stopped. Unfortunately, with the weak wing of the Republican Party pushing Trump far to the center and to the left in some cases, we're all afraid we're not going to get much of what we voted for. Here's another example. Education chief pick Betsy DeVos, she was picked by Trump, DeVos. During the primary, she called him an interloper, and she said Trump doesn't represent the Republican Party, Betsy DeVos. That's his choice for education secretary. So why would he pick her? Why? Because the GOP picked her. That's why. The same GOP that gave us Rinso Priebus. The same GOP that's pushing Romney. They're pushing her now. The woman's in favor of Common Core. Did you know that? You didn't know that. Betsy DeVos backed Marco Rubio during the GOP primary race. She referred to Trump as an interloper. And she said he would never become the Republican Party's nominee. She's a mega donor. Her family is a mega donor. And her family are heirs of the Amway fortune. And they backed Mitt Romney in 2012. So what's new about this? Nothing. It's Machiavellian. It's all jockeying for power. The fact of the matter is that her family's money got her the education job that she's wanted. Trump officially won DeVos' state of Michigan last week, the first Republican to do so since George H.W. Bush in 1988. So all of a sudden, the soft money issue is gone. And her saying he was an interloper is gone now that she got what she wants. So already we see we're not getting a conservative in the education department. God knows what's coming tomorrow, who he'll put into the defense department once the pressure starts from the Republicans. We'll get another pink-tied backstabber yet. instead of Mr. General Mattis, so I totally support, 100% support him. You know that I wrote about General Mattis and stopped the coming Civil War. I don't know if I have the book here. I think I should talk about it. Here. 3 books ago. No, I don't have it. I have to look for it. Mattis was fired by Obama for being too much of a general, a real general, not the tassel-shoed type, not the mean-faced, clipped hair type that can't fly an airplane, drive a tank, or sail a boat. This was a real hardcore, real bad guy, a real tough guy. Well, I hope to God Trump doesn't get rolled over on this by the RNC, because that would be a disaster for us. 855-407-282. Now, let's go back to the issues that we've been talking about. Jeff on KSFO has been holding a long time on the death of the monster Castro. Jeff, go ahead, please.
Good day, Dr. Savage. Thank you for speaking with me. The wait was well worth it. I listen to your show because on the cloudy days I have, it's like the sunlight coming through the clouds. It brightens me up. Makes me laugh. As I've got my slide rule that my old college days gave me, along with the college professor's round slide rule, neither of which I understand how to use, but I did get them out.
I understand, but you got the reference pretty good. That means you're listening pretty closely. Jeff, you're a doctor today?
Yes, sir.
And what's the purpose of the call? You're a physician, and what is the issue?
Fidel is a monster. I've been to Cuba many times. I finally got my dear friend out. He's in Montreal. Not the U.S., because if he touched down here, his wife and children would have been thrown in the streets and their house confiscated by Fidel. So by getting him to Canada, they stayed in the house. We got him a political refugee status, and about 3 years later, his family was united with him. That was about 2 years ago.
Great. Good job for you. Good job for you. That's beautiful. But I think you're calling to explain to the fools, the idiots, the so-called progressives, what life was really like in Cuba and still is under these mafioso who run it called the Castro brothers.
It was a slave state. Most people didn't realize it's a nickel mine that Fidel paid 5 cents an hour to his laborers. They sold the nickel to Canada. Like I said, the hospitals for Fidel and the boys and the ambassadors was state-of-the-art. The ones for the people, the hospital that I visited, had no glass in the windows. Now, I know some people from the Bahamas who go to the clinics in Cuba. Those are okay, and it was quicker than waiting 6-8 months for the socialized medicine they had in the Bahamas to kick in. But as far as the actual hospitals, they were fairly archaic.
But are you as disgusted as I am by the headlines we're reading, such as the glorification of this mafioso by the New York Times calling him a revolutionary who defied the U.S. and held Cuba in his thrall? Are you as disgusted as I am by Sulzberger and his minions of useful idiots?
Absolutely. Because I've been there, I've seen it, I see what the people have lived through with him. He was so horrible that they wouldn't even refer to him by name. It was like Voldemort thing. They'd make the beard sign, or they would not even say his name.
I know the common Cuban called him the beard. I know that for a fact. But wait, hold on, Doc. Listen to this carefully, Jeff. Here is the media praise of Fidel Castro that my good group put together in clip 03. Could you play it, Robert, please?
Fidel Castro was considered, even to this day, the George Washington of his country among those who remain in Cuba.
By then a declared socialist, he dramatically improved health care and literacy.
Fidel continued to promote leftist movements in Latin America, where he remained popular until his death.
I think that the Cubans have a tremendous sense of pride over his legacy, and I think that he will be remembered fondly.
He was a romantic figure when he came into
That's
power.
Geraldo Rivera, the mustache?
A corrupt dictator, Batista. We American young high school kids and kids in those days rooted like mad for the guy. We thought, here was this guy in fatigues with a beard coming in out of the countryside, leading a revolution and swept aside this old corrupt regime. And he was going to be almost like a folk hero to most of us.
He will be revered as someone who brought education and social services and medical care to all of his people.
You see the medicine system they are very proud of. You see athletes, and think of how many Cuban athletes have enriched the sports in this country and around the world. Writers, the arts, that Cuban culture Chris was so romantic about, no one wants to lose.
Turn it off. So these are all the people who are in America today who have destroyed this country. They're primarily in the media. You can recognize their voices, glorifying a bloodthirsty monster. And yet none of them will tell you the truth about his life, except the people who've lived under this monster. Jeff, you're a doctor again. There's a two-tiered medical system is what you were saying, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And how many of these people have actually been to Cuba and seen what's like in the real life for the real people? I'm not talking about a VIP tour. I've spent weeks there at a time. I know it was not allowed to go, but I really didn't care. I met some very good people, and the people are good. And they were taken advantage of for 50 years. It's a slave state.
Do you know better than I? You're obviously of Cuban heritage, correct?
No, sir. I'm Italian. I'm an old guinea from New Jersey.
Sorry. You said it. I didn't. So why do you have such empathy and sympathy for the Cuban people?
Because I spent a lot of time there. Years there. And I spent years trying to get my friend out. And we finally managed to do it. And I'm sure that a lot of other folks...
Well, you know, Jeff, I made a very poignant statement, or a loaded statement earlier, when I hear all these idiots in the media glorifying the medical hero, Geraldo Rivera, a low life of the lowest order. What does he know about anything?
Nothing.
What does that man know about anything, that faker with that mustache they threw off WABC? What do they know about? Nothing. How would he glorify a guy like this? Why would he do that?
The best I can say is they've had the VIP tour down there. They've not spent weeks and weeks with the people. That's a big difference.
Yeah, that's like Al Capone's vault. I get it. That's the same thing with Castro's Cuba. He knows about as much about Castro's Cuba as he does about what's inside Al Capone's vault.
Maybe.
But let's put that poser aside for the moment. Am I correct when I say that when Fidel himself got sick, did he not call in doctors from Spain and Miami?
Quite often from Spain.
Yeah, God forbid he would bring in a Spanish doctor. I remember the famous line in The Godfather when the Maya Lansky character is having like symptoms of a heart attack and he's on the couch in the hotel with the cash. And he says, they say, get a doctor, the wife says. And he waves his hand and he says, no, bring my doctor in from Miami. I don't trust anyone who doesn't speak English. Remember that famous line?
Exactly, I do. Exactly. And they did. I don't know. They probably had trouble getting U.S. doctors there, but they certainly could get European doctors and especially Spanish doctors. And
let me ask, would you ever use a Spanish doctor for anything?
Only if it
was... I don't know. Maybe. If I was in Spain, I had a broken leg, I'd go to a Spanish hospital. Otherwise, I would want to be airlifted to Cedar Sinai in L.A. or... New York hospital.
That's why.
But put that aside. Why do they glorify communists like this? What do they think will happen if we actually had lost this country to Hillary Clinton, or worse yet, Bernie Sanders? Do those fools actually think that they would live better and do better under those dictators?
Those fools do think that, but you and I both know what actually becomes of them once the communists take over. They're the first to go.
They are the first to go. You are so correct. Listen, my friend from New Jersey, who I can't call you what you said you are, but it'd be fun to say it. I'm going to send you a copy of Teddy and Me for the Christmas holidays. You have any children or grandchildren?
I do. I have a, believe it or not, I have a six-year-old, but I'm 65.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. You're still a happy man. Well, and you know the beauty, and you know the beauties of a family, right? You saw it over the weekend, over the holiday.
Absolutely, we were all conservatives. So we had no fussing, no fighting. As far as
no, I had no fighting at mine. Everybody understands reality. Two of them are in the military, so they understand reality. So, and everyone else knows reality because they work for a living. And none of them are in the media except for me, and I know it's reality, so we all got along. Now, I'm going to send you Teddy and Me, because I think it's a beautiful book. But, Doctor, thank you very much for calling the show. That's a beautiful call. That opens up 50 lines at 855-407-28. No, we're sold out. We got one open line. And there's a lot of topics. You know what I'm talking about. That's all. I see reality, and, you know, it's painful sometimes. But what that man said at the beginning just stuck with me. He said, I listen to you because you're like light in the darkness, and you cheer me up. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's this and that. I understand that. It's one guy to another. There's not a lot of people out there who either see reality or are willing to even express reality if they do see it. And so that's what the show is, for whatever term God still gives me on this enterprise, the good ship Earth, okay? The good planet Earth. I want to talk more about the spiritual aspects of holidays and the meaning of life. Maybe it's too philosophical, too highbrow. And I won't do it now. I maybe get into it this week. I can't do it all on Monday. There's so much that is building up in me. Because remember, I wasn't on the air Thursday. It was a best of. We had a best of on Friday. I was chomping at the bit. I was in L.A. in my studio there. I was saying, why am I not on the air? I even called into the show to the great Philip. I couldn't stay off the air. I bothered him. Many of you heard that on Friday. Then we had Saturday and Sunday, no less, with no radio. I went. There's a guy I know, an astrologer, a palm reader named Vernon. Remember, he's been on the show a few times. I've known him off and on for years. I never met him. I don't know how we got in touch when I was a local host on KSFO 20 years ago. He came to an event, this and that. And over the years, I would send him a couple of questions about astrology. It's not like every day. I'm not Nancy Reagan. I don't have him over the house every day with like a crystal ball. But I figured I'm going to be in L.A. He lives in the area, so come over. So he came over, and I met him for the first time. And I'm going to tell you about it maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. It was a very interesting meeting to meet this fellow. And I'll tell you about him and his website. Because he's been very predictive about things in my life, big things in my life, or I wouldn't have met with him. I'll give you one thing. So we're sitting and talking. And his father was Indian, his mother was Sicilian, or I have it the other way around. And I'm just saying, I'm giving you the background. So he got two sides of him that are amazing. And he said to me, looking at my hand, he said, looking at your fingers, on the two end fingers, I see two double whorls on the two end fingers, which is very rare. I said, what does that mean? He said, that means you're an inspirational communicator. Now you say, all right, that's something he could just make up because he knows I'm a talk show host, right? But then he said, no, in your previous life, your karma said that you were a teacher in a small homogeneous community. You were a religious teacher in a previous life, according to the sanskara, impressions from the previous life. And then he made predictions about what's coming for me in my career in 2017, which I will tell you could be true or could not be true. But if it is true, it means I will see him again. If it turns out it is not true, that means I will not see him in 2018. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Low-life people who are either senile or liars or fellow travelers like Andrea Mitchell saying Fidel Castro was more of an aging grandfather. Well, why doesn't she move there with her old man and see how long she lasts? What losers these people are glorifying a mafioso like this who turned his people into serfs. Anyway, he's dead. We'll see what happens in Cuba after his death. What about Thanksgiving? We have such great callers on that. And I hope you'll stay over to the next hour because they're really good on the whole dinner thing. For example, JJF in New York. Steve, fire away. We got such little time. Just make your point. Steve, go ahead.
Dr. Savage.
A dead shot. It's like a torpedo. You press the tube and it fizzles. It doesn't go out of the tube. So then before you could do anything, you hang up, that's all. Okay, look, he wasn't ready. He was slow on the uptake. It's a product of retirement, probably, and last night, probably a lot of four roses. And a different speed. It's not that he's a bad guy.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday?
All right, so the butcher knife, the car. That's all. The Somali went. Well, it's because he lives in a racist country. They ought to interview Andrea Mitchell and Geraldo Rivera, Colin Kaepernick, those who praised Castro, and ask them why the Somali Muslim drove into the crowd of students with it and then pulled out a knife and slashed them. They probably have the answer. They're brilliant people. Andrea Mitchell probably has the answer why. A Somali refugee and Ohio State University student. What was he studying? And the guy looks like an inbreed. Take a look at the head on him. All are welcome in America. It's a melting pot. Except they don't melt anymore. They try to melt you down. Plowed his car into a group of people who had just evacuated a campus building after a caller reported a gas leak, then slashed them with a butcher knife, leaving nine injured before he was shot dead. See, that's the troublesome part of the story. Why did that evil, aggressive pig cop have to shoot 18-year-old Abdul Razak Ali Artan, who became a legal permanent resident of the U.S.? Why didn't he reason with him? Why didn't he approach him and try to be gentle and kind? Just because the guy stabbed people and ran them over doesn't mean he was an active threat. I mean, the cop jumped the gun, and I think he should be investigated by Black Lives Matter. And I believe that Al Sharpton should be out there in a minute with a bullhorn screaming, hey, hey, ho, ho, about something. And I think Black Lives Matter absolutely has to go on a rampage because, I mean, the Somali wasn't really doing anything wrong. He just ran people over and stabbed them. It's a little bit more than what they do. It's true, but it's not that bad. He didn't have a gun. Not like the evil in America that have guns. He had no gun. It wasn't a gun-related crime. He used an assault car and assault knife. And so, therefore, it wasn't as bad as any white guy goes on a rampage and uses a gun. Junior Jerry Kovacic said he witnessed a lunatic. It's not a lunatic. It wasn't because of the moon. Lunatic means he was maddened by the moon. He wasn't maddened by the moon. He's maddened by something else. Well, you have to figure out why he did this. And you can't figure out where he got this from, where it came in his head. That's all. All right, what do you want me to say about it? It wasn't an accident. Five people sent to Ohio State Medical Center, two stabbed, two hit by the car. One in critical condition, the rest was stable. But you'll forget about them in a minute. Instead, you'll hear about why the cop shot the Somali Muslim. So what can you do about this? Well, we did something about it. We elected Trump. We elected Trump, who said he would not let any more Muslims in from terror nations. That would include Somalia, I would assume. That would start with Syria and Somalia. But that's not going to happen. Not that the RNC has now taken over his administration. You'll see. Watch how they soften on this whole thing. I said Muslims. I didn't mean all Muslims. I had some Muslims. I had some Muslims from terrorist nation. Although I didn't mean some from terrorist nation. I didn't mean all terrorist nations. I didn't even mean Muslims. I didn't say Muslims. I said something else. I mumbled and they said, I thought I said Muslims. I didn't say it. He said it. I said it. I didn't say it. I didn't say Muslims. I said Huslims. I said I would never hush people up who wanted to say anything about Muslims is what I actually said. I never said I'd ban Muslims. I said hush those who are speaking against Muslims. And in fact, if you analyze my words very carefully, you'll find out that I do want to crack down on those who are speaking against Muslims and hush them up. That's what I said. I would hush them up. I didn't say I'd ban Muslims. I would hush those who are criticizing Muslims. That's when the RNC gets through. The minute Rinso gets through with them, that's what he'll be saying. What the world needs now. Yeah, rampage at Ohio State, Somali refugee with knife attacks students. Well, what do you want done, Michael? Well, I'll tell you what I want done, Michael. I want every imam in the United States of America investigated by the FBI. That's number one. You want number two and three and four? Well, I got it for you. It's already written down. It's in Scorched Earth and Government Zero. I didn't mince words then, and I'm not mincing words now. Because that's not the way I live. This is the way I live. And the fact of the matter is that I got here by being outspoken and usually being correct in my vision and in my delivery. And it's not going to stop suddenly because Donald Trump got elected. It's that simple. WABC, New York. Chris, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. Look, I have one thing on Trump, and then I want to do something on spiritual, if you don't mind. My Trump point, you know, me being from New Jersey and the southern part of New Jersey, I saw firsthand, you know, what had happened with the Trump properties down in Atlantic City. I have some some worries about him as the president, just like yourself with some of the appointees he's made. But
hold on, hold on. Did you vote for him despite your qualms?
Yes, I voted for him. Because I'm
good. Okay, well, that's, so we're on the same exact side when it comes to that. And we both agree that no matter what he does or doesn't do, we're 1,000% better off than we would have been under the woman monster.
Agreed. I think if she would have got in, we would have been seeing World War III, or we would have been seeing a war with Russia. But now...
A war with Russia, taxes at 91%, a flood of immigrants, including more Muslims, not less Muslims. Go down the list. Not a border at all with Mexico, but any Mexican who wants to become a citizen allowed in to vote for Democrats for the next 1,000 years. So we have to thank our lucky stars. I'm very proud that I helped push them over the finish line. Don't get me wrong. But the direction he is going in is not the direction that we voted for him to go.
No, it's not. Now, me personally, my grandmother was actually 100% Japanese. My grandfather was 23 years TSGT in the Air Force, married her in Japan, and then flew her to the States and married her legally here. And that's how my family kind of started to come. And the reason I say that is because, you know, I look at the core values that Trump lays out and what he's proposing to do, lower taxes, and not, you know, just by 3 or 4 points, as you have said before, but a significant drop. Now, here's my only question. Is there any way that, you know, Congress or any other branch can veto that and get in his way of doing that? Because that would be the only...
Well, here's the thing. Why do you think I'm being out front with my position on retaining my right to be a critic? There's such a thing as positive criticism and negative criticism. Because unless we apply the pressure now to the leftists who have seized his administration in advance, they're going to steer off course, and they're not going to give us what we wanted him to give us. And we must now apply the pressure now. People saying, well, give him a chance, give him a chance, give him a chance. I say no. When I see guys... And guys and dolls who have taken over this ship, the Trump ship, and I see the direction they're steering it in, I'm very worried. And I think that we, the people who put them over the finish line, need to remind them that we are the people who put them over the finish line. They didn't do it. We did.
100% agree with you.
What, the four people around them who listen to my show and others are suddenly geniuses? When half his speeches came out of Government Zero and scorched earth like on a teleprompter, he didn't write that stuff down. He had somebody writing it down from my books and my shows, right down to the last week when he was saying, in my opinion. And I want to remind them, they did not have him win. They're not geniuses. I had him win. And let me tell you something else. The millions of people who elected Donald Trump are not happy with the Mitt Romney. They're not happy with Ms. DeVos. And they're not happy with the direction that we're hearing about no border wall all of a sudden.
You've seen him kind of retract on some of his points that he made key in his campaign. Well, getting back to Atlantic City real quick, he essentially bankrupted his properties and made money off it. Here's my thing. If Donald Trump is to succeed and to really say, do what he says, he needs to close the loopholes that he's used for years that, you know, they allowed to be in place. That's how we'll know whether Donald Trump is for real. If he changes some of the things that even he has taken advantage of in the past.
You're saying the bankruptcy laws, you want them changed? You want the bankruptcy laws changed?
Yes, I do.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. Never going to happen. The special interests will never, ever permit the bankruptcy laws to be rewritten. Ever. That's their cushion. That's their golden parachute. It's the taxpayer is the golden parachute. It's never going to change. Well, if he doesn't give us the wall, we're going to be in hot water. Well, my friend, I'm sending you a copy of Teddy and Me for the holidays. I hope you enjoy it with your family. Let's go to Steve. I got so many great callers on all these other topics, if you don't mind. WSBA in Pennsylvania, CJ Line 7. What did you say happened to you over Thanksgiving with your family?
I made up my mind I'm going to stop speaking to my 52-year-old Marxist, single, never married, bitter at the world, college professor sister.
Wait, you said so much in that one half sentence. You said it all, actually. You don't even have to add anything to a bitter, never married, mad at the world sister-in-law. Sister-in-law or sister?
Sister, Marxist. The word.
And she's a tenured professor, I assume,
yep.
Which is why she's a Marxist?
Yep.
So nobody can fire her, no matter how she badgers the poor students.
That's it.
And what'd she do at the dinner?
In January, with this litany of things I couldn't respond to, so I kept my distance.
Did she come to your dinner, or did you go to her house?
Yes, at the time in January I did, but we were at my mom's house. There's just five of us on Thanksgiving, and I was sitting.
Yeah, and so wait, so the commie sister is there, the mean face, clipped hair Marxist sister. And what happened? What did she do to everyone?
I have a special needs boy that's 11, and my mom was peeping in on him in the bathroom trying to get him.
Wait, sorry, I'm missing. Who had the special needs boy?
I do.
All right, that's very sad. I had a special needs brother who died very young, so I have great empathy for people who are so struck with empathy that they take care of their children instead of ditching them. Okay, so you kept peeping in on your kid, and what happened?
My mom gets up from the table, goes peeps in on him, and I say, Mom, he's going to the bathroom. Because she wanted him to come back to the card table. We were after dinner, got through dinner and everything. So, and then... my sister looks up at me, she goes, how do you leave the house? You need a rule sheet to be around you with this kid.
Oh, she put your kid down?
Yeah. And first...
Well, that's very compassionate of this liberal woman. Very, very liberal of her to be that kid. Why would she say a thing like that about a kid who was born like this? Why would she do that?
Because she's deranged. And...
Why? But she's deranged enough to teach, in other words. That's
right.
All she's fit for? What subject does she teach? Women's studies?
She teaches art at Edinburgh University.
Edinburgh, Scotland, or where?
Just down in Crawford County, south of Erie.
Oh, I was. And what kind of art does she teach?
Photography.
Oh, another great, another one with the camera, another one with an iPhone as a tenured professor.
All right,
everyone has one of them in their family. And she came to dinner and ruined everyone's day. And you don't want to ever see her again in plain English.
And now I'm sitting there, and she's mocking my breathing because it was a physical reaction to where she's going after me. So
she tried to provoke you with your special needs son to see if she can make you break out and yell at her so she can confirm that you're no good, Nick, and an deplorable.
I clam up. I don't say a word. We get through the card game. I get my son out the door. I forgot my keys.
Oh.
Go back out, and she said goodbye. I didn't say a word because I realized then I'm never speaking to her again because I don't want to engage her because she's going to use that and try to hook me. And she goes up to my son and hugs him and says, geez, boy, name, I'd like to spend more time with you, but your dad thinks I'm a bad influence on you.
And so she now is using your son to do a thing like this on top of it all?
Out the door in the driveway, and we walk away. Now, my wife had already...
Evil. She's pure evil. A manipulative,
yep.
Psychotic.
And
she is a manipulative, psychotic communist fit only for teaching art in the university.
And then now he's asking me about it. Why this? Why that? And all I could tell him is that she's a bully.
That's true. They are. They're all bullies, that type.
So
I'm sure she bullies the students pretty badly. Well, look, it's a sad thing. I can hear it in your voice. You're almost heartbroken over it on top of it all.
It was just so emotional. I talked to my brother. I'll tell you about it. And I told him, I said, I need to process it one more time.
Yeah.
And that's it. But
well, look, you kept it in for your sake and the sake of your son and the family, which was the manly thing to do. You did the right thing. But meanwhile, you're suffering as a result. You're suffering. I mean, you internalized the rage. You're probably depressed over it, right?
Well, yeah, you know, I just have to...
Well, you know what depression is, don't you? Depression, to a large extent, is rage that's held in. Did you know that?
Probably, you know, I'm going to go...
Yeah, in many cases, depression is rage that is held in, but unfortunately, we don't live in the cave or in the jungle, and we have to internalize our rage instead of taking it out on people. I'm very sad to hear all of this, but I don't think you're alone. And I know you held a long time to tell that family horror story because you are not alone. That's why I brought up the topic. This goes on every time families are forced to assemble and they do not have a natural affinity for one another. Other than blood, I mean, what genetics is enough? Is genetics really enough to put you in the same room with certain people? No.
You know, in the couple.
All you share is some DNA, nothing else, right?
That's it.
All right, so now the DNA strand has been satisfied with the dinner, but it's enough already. You don't need to subject your child or yourself to this anymore. The real question is, how do you deal with this with your child? That's what you're calling about. What do you say to him?
like I said, I just kind of, he's got a great spirit. He's involved. He's his only child. So, you know, I just try to, you know, be there for him as much as I can. And
I think what you say to him, and I don't want to be, you know, Mr. Psychologist here, is what I would do if, God forbid, the same thing was in my situation, to end it and not make it worse. Say, your aunt is not a bad person, but she and I see things differently, and we don't get along very well. That's how I would leave it. I'm sure he understands that certain people don't get along. It's like oil and water. You could show him oil and water in a pan, too, as an example. Show him how when you put oil in a pan where there was water, out of the water, how it pops up. Just say certain things don't mix. That's all. I love her very much, and I know she loves you, but she and I don't get along. And that's a leave it at that. Never get together with her again. All right. Thank you very much for the heartbreak. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, and we are talking about Thanksgiving weekend, family feathers. We're talking about the Muslim Somali who went on a rampage, stabbing students and running them over, and how the media covered it up. We're talking about the vermin in the media, like Andrea Mitchell calling Castro an aging grandfather instead of the monster criminal that he actually was, and how the average Cuban was treated like worse than a dog. And we're talking about the Trump campaign and the RNC and their influence over him right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I'm glad to tell you that boycotts are working. Colin Pimpleneck, whatever his name is, who started out with the knee job on the football field. He thought he was going to get a real boost out of that. And for a while, of course, the idiots in the media turned him into a folk hero, even though he had a failing football career and he was doing this for attention, because he's an attention queen. Suddenly they found out that the idiots in the stands will not put up with this, you know, for any length of time. And I told you, you have the right to not turn on the NFL. You have the right not to go to a game. When passing through it, you can turn it off, and you did. So the team that he is on is suffering. The league that he is in is suffering. And the idiot won't stop. Over the weekend, he glorified Fidel Castro. Then he had to backtrack. And you know the standard communist stuff. Oh, although Castro was a bad guy, somewhat, he brought education and health care to the Cubans. Gee, that's novel. I heard that one before. Hey, question for all of you who say that. Reality check time in the Savage Nation. Let's see. Castro brought medical care and education to the peasants in Cuba. Really? Why is it then when El Jefe, the bearded one, needed surgery, he called in a surgeon from Spain? And also, why is it that whenever the leaders of Cuba need medical care, they either go to Miami or call in a Jewish surgeon from Miami? Why is that? If the medical care is so good, you idiots, you. Why don't you go there for your medical care? Why don't you go there for your dental care, you idiot leftist from Berkeley, whose parents probably went down there to collect sugar cane? Stupid people. They're just stupid. They're not naive. They're stupid, useful idiots. Covered that. Castro dies. Pope weeps. Would Mitt Romney make a good Secretary of State? Covered that. Check. 9 people were taken to hospitals after the ambush. 1 was in critical condition. A police officer was on the scene within a minute and killed the assailant. Ooh! A police officer shot the poor Somali? Why did he shoot him? Why did the police officer have the audacity to shoot the assailant like that? Why didn't he try to talk to him? Why didn't he speak with him about his grievances? Why didn't he try to encourage him to join the American mainstream? Why did this police officer act so abruptly? I think there should be a riot by Black Lives Matter, or would it be Somali Lives Matter, or would it be Al Sharpton, or would it be Jesse Jackson? One of them should be out there screaming, hey, hey, ho, ho, or something like that. After all, I haven't been heard from for a while. Law enforcement officials told NBC News the suspect's name is 18-year-old Abdul Artan, a student. I wonder what the student was studying. He was a Somali refugee. Well, anyway, you get the picture. I mean, what are you going to say about it? That's not the main topic. I mean, the main topic is the guy slashed because that's what he does. And no one fought back. They were hiding in the dining room. Why wasn't there a returning military veteran with a gun in his pocket in the Buckeye State, I wonder? Anyway, from the Buckeye State to the Blind Eye State in just one administration, from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the freeloader and the home of the empty revolver, that's America under Barack Obama. Now, of course, they know who the suspect is. He's 18-year-old Abdul Artan. No Islamophobia now. Don't you dare say he was a Muslim. Well, he was a Muslim, and he is a Somali refugee who lived in Pakistan and came to the U.S. in 2014 under Barack Obama's illegal immigrant tsunami. And he's now a legal permanent resident, equal to you and your grandfather who fought in World War II. They don't know the motive. It's not his holy book, of course. We couldn't assume that for any reason whatsoever. He was deranged. He was crazy. He was a maniac, said the press reports. But they say the attack was clearly deliberate and may have been planned in advance. Really? I wonder where the Somali Muslim refugee got the idea to run over Americans and then slash them with a butcher knife. Well, then, we can't assume it comes from his religious teachings, could we? No, that would be racist, and of course that might get you in trouble. But here we are, not days after the recount was announced, where Hillary's challenging the election along with this Stein character. We have a terror event. We've all been saying, where was the terror over the last few weeks? Why have the Islamofascists been so quiet during the election? Where were they? And why would they trigger one of themselves now? I mean, I don't know if there's any relationship to the fact that the election's over and now it's being contested, but it seems odd to me that these Abduls, Artans, weren't slashing and driving people over a week or two ago. Why all of a sudden? And I'm just thinking out loud, you know what I'm saying, of Ohio would have been lessened. Because you know there's a lot of deplorables up there in Ohio. You know there's a lot of crackers, a lot of guns. You know that they look at people weirdly. So you got to look at it two ways. I mean, he was triggered. He was triggered by those people on campus. Allow me my sarcasm and my vitriol, because there's only so much any of us can take. But this is sickening. Hassan Omar, president of the Somali Community Association of Ohio, said that reports that the attacker was Somali was upsetting. He said every Somali person has been calling and crying. Well, this is a shock, he said. As a Somali community, we're in a state of shock. We live in a peaceful community. This is going to affect the life of everybody. We are American, and we don't want somebody to create this problem. Why don't you talk to your imam? Why don't you go to your local mosque there and talk to your imam? Maybe you could talk some sense into him. Look, you got to look at it from all sides. The Ohio State attack on the students is an indicator not so much of his disgust with America as the racism of the Americans. This is what provoked him. You see, had we been a more inclusive nation, had we given his family more welfare, had we been more welcoming, perhaps making the 18-year-old the president of the university before he even spoke English, and giving him, let's say, a new Mercedes. I don't say a Bentley or a Rolls. I mean, I'm not absurd about it. But every Somali who comes here should be given a new Mercedes instantly, and perhaps a house, a free house. Perhaps then their grievances against the racist white state of Ohio would have been lessened. Because you know there's a lot of deplorables up there in Ohio. You know there's a lot of crackers, a lot of guns. You know that they look at people weirdly. So you got to look at it two ways. I mean, he was triggered. He was triggered by those people on campus. You know, I got to tell you this. Beware the augurs. They're not good. The augurs are very bad. I saw this coming. I took a big chance in criticizing Rinso Priebus of the RNC. The minute I saw that Rinso was made chief of staff, I said, the fix is in. We're in trouble. And I wrote an article, WorldNet Daily published it, Drudge linked it for 18 hours. There were over 2 million people who went on it. I can tell you right now what happened as a result. I'm not going to hide it from you anymore. I am basically a deplorable to the Trump team. The very same people who used me and used you to get where they are not returning any emails or calls because I dared criticize the deal they made with Rinso Priebus and the RNC. And a few days after that, guess what happened? All of a sudden, they marched out Mittens Romney. Because I see what's happening. There was a deal made. Look, politics is all about deal making. I understand that. I didn't expect there to be 100% purity in the Trump's messaging. However, for them to kick the millions of listeners of this show to the curb and basically saying to you, you are the deplorables, you are just the same deplorables to us now that we have all the power in the world, is really sickening, to be very honest with you. Now, I could shut my mouth and say nothing about it, but you know, I have trouble eating humble pie. I have trouble being rejected. I have trouble being crapped upon. I have trouble being rejected. I have trouble being used, and I'm not one to be used easily. I'm also a fighter, and let me tell you something else. The minute I saw them take Rinso Priebus in, and within the next few days, they bring in that failed kitten, Mitt Romney, I know what's coming. I know most of us are going to be very disappointed in the days and weeks and months ahead. We're going to be very disappointed. And we're going to have to learn to live with our disappointment. We're going to say we were had again. We were used again. They're doing to us exactly what they did to us after we put that creature McConnell back in. And the other one, I forget his name, Boehner. Do you remember what we did in 2012? Remember I told you to hold your nose and vote for the Republicans in the book that I wrote at the time? I said, we have no other choice. And guess what the Republican Party did to you? Just what they're doing to you now. And so, yeah, Trump worked a deal out with the RNC that if they back him and give him money and don't fight him towards the nomination, he will permit them to have certain influences over his appointments and his policies. That's what we're seeing going on right now. However, whoever is advising Donald Trump is making a huge tactical and critical error in thinking that we the people are just idiotic deplorables who will sit here and take it. Now, I know that we have almost no recourse. There's no buyer's remorse. There's nowhere to go with this. And as I said to you before, even if we only get 5% of what he promised us, we're 1,000% better than under Hillary Clinton. At least I think so. But God only knows where this can go. And it's up to those of us who convinced you who weren't going to vote to go out and vote. We have to now deal with this issue ourselves. And I'm dealing with it. Let me tell you, I'm dealing with it. I am not secretly plotting behind the scenes to go softly on them if they'll do this or that for me. I don't want anything from them. I don't need anything from them. I'm not looking for a government job. As far as that umbrella goes, how many times was Donald Trump on this show? What, between the a year ago? A lot. How many times did I say jokingly at the end of the interviews, well, I have that umbrella waiting for the inauguration? And he would say to me, you save that, you're going to need it. How many times did he say it? Quite a few. Well, I'll tell you what's going to be done with that umbrella, because it won't be at the inauguration. It will be a virgin umbrella in its original wrapper that will auction on eBay and give it to a wounded warrior. That's what's going to be done with that umbrella that will not be going to Washington to the inauguration. That's number two. And number three, it's you, the people who put him over the finish line, who are going to have to organize right now to keep him straight and narrow. Because I will tell you as I sit here, the people around him, the people advising him, are so Machiavellian right now that they think that they can just dump on you and you're going to take it. You're not going to take it. Now your question is, what are you going to do about it? Remember how many times I've said to you that we live in a dictatorship punctuated by a democracy every 4 years when the politicians come to us for their vote? How many times have you heard me say that? That we fundamentally live in a dictatorship. We have no recourse. We have no elected representatives. And that every few years they come back and make believe it's a democracy. And they tell us this and they tell us that. Then they get elected. And then suddenly you're put back into the deplorable category. Well, we have to change that. We the people now have to change that. And I have a plan. But I'm saving it until January. I have a distinct plan of how to take our government back, let alone our country. And I'll let that hang in the air for a while, because I, Michael Savage, have more responsibility for having elected Donald Trump than anyone else in the media, period, end of story. And I therefore have the responsibility to answer to my listeners as to the direction this administration is already taking before they've even taken office. I have an obligation to my listeners because they're going to say to me, Savage, you encouraged me to vote. I had given up on the system. You told me to come out and vote that Donald Trump would make a difference. Well, he just might. He just might put some really good conservatives in there. He might rebuild the military. He might build the wall. He might stop the Muslim flood coming into America. He might put tariffs on China. He might do these things. We don't know. It's early on. And we do have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Be right back. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Everybody hold hands. Please find a Somali and apologize to them for not welcoming them properly into America and thereby triggering a feeling of disgust and rage towards this nation. Hello, deplorables. Welcome back to Savage Nation. We, of course, are talking about the Somali Muslim who went on a rampage with a car and knife, killing some, attacking others, ramming car into a crowd, being shot dead by a brave policeman who will no doubt be attacked by the vermin in Black Lives Matter. Yes, indeed. From the Buckeye State to the Blind Eye State in one administration. We've gone from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the freeloader and the home of the empty revolver. My opinion, one man's opinion. And of course the Ohio attack was inspired by ISIS. Of course the Somali was inspired by the black flag of hate and deceit and death. You already think this is the first time that a Muslim used his car and a knife? Last November, Faisal Mohammed, 18, last November now, stabbed four people at the University of California, Merced, before being shot dead by heroic cops. Mohammed, Faisal Mohammed, was carrying an ISIS flag in his backpack. Another student. ISIS terrorist Mohammed Lahoujal Bouhel used his truck to kill 84 people in Nice by blowing into Bastille Day crowds earlier this year. You forgot that already in the collective amnesia? Wasil Faruqi allegedly tried to behead a man in Roanoke, Virginia, and then stabbed a woman shouting, Allah Akbar. He had previously tried to travel to Syria for terror training. In September, Dahir Adan, 22, slashed nine shoppers at the Crossroads Mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota. He was shot dead by an off-duty cop, a hero. And according to eyewitnesses, the Muslim demanded to know his victim's faith before cutting their throats. Shocked you yet? In August, ISIS claimed responsibility for a machete attack on two female officers, while five were injured in a knife and axe attack on a German train weeks before. He was also shot dead and had an ISIS flag in his home. In its magazine, published in English, The Subhumans in ISIS have inspired Muslims around the world to use knives in their attacks. And you want to bring more of them in? Let me backtrack for a minute. Why did we elect Trump? Did we elect him because we liked his pompadour? Did we elect him because we liked his buildings? No. We elected Trump for two reasons. Close the damn borders, build the damn wall, and don't let Muslims in from terror countries. Those are the reasons. Those are the two major reasons. The third reason, bring back jobs. I can give you about five reasons. Two of them have to do with what just happened in Ohio State. Now, I'm not blaming him. He's not president yet. But the snake in the White House certainly did this to us by flooding us with as many as he could. The snake did this to us. We know that. But the question is, what is Trump going to actually do, or what will Trump, A, propose to do once he is inaugurated? And number two, what will he be able to do once he is inaugurated?
Savage.